Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Yesterday, I began a message I've entitled The Holy Ghost and Fire. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the words of John the Baptist recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. And he says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And what we see here with this baptism that is going to be ministered, the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he was saying, Jesus. Jesus is the mightier one coming after him, and that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And it talks about God purging his floor. And beloved, I truly believe there is a separation of the wheat from the chaff. God himself is going to do that. And there are those, you've heard that expression, wolves in sheep's clothing. They went out from among us because they were not of us. There are those who have a pretense of Christianity. They claim to be Christians, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. The devil will do, he will stop at nothing to deceive, to mislead, to cause godly people to be turned aside. In fact, as we know from Scripture, unless the days are shortened in the end times, even the elect should be deceived. So God is shortening the time. He is giving us Holy Ghost discernment. Sermon. And as we keep our face set as a flint toward the things of God, toward the Lord, he will not let us fall into error because he has given us the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. But, and that Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead and guide us into all righteousness. All right, praise God. So, this is what he said about Jesus, what Jesus was going to do for his disciples. All right, now let's go a little bit further into the New Testament, and let's hear the words of Jesus. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, these are the words of Jesus, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, beloved, if you understand the narrative of what was occurring after the resurrection of Jesus, you remember when he appeared to them, they were behind closed doors, hiding for fear of the Jews. Let me just turn over to John, the 20th chapter, verse 22. Well, I'll start at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Beloved, at that point in time, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He had completed the task his Father had given him. He said, it is finished. They were saved. He breathed on them and they received the Spirit of God, which happens when everyone who believes on Jesus is when they're born again. The Holy Spirit comes to take residence. However, Jesus gave that command in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Acts. He said, he didn't want them to, he said, this is, you know, go and baptize in all nations. He gave them a great commission, but he said, before you do anything, go back to Jerusalem, and there you shall be, you'll be my witnesses there and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. But he said, the Holy Ghost is to come upon you and shall be in you. And so what we are seeing is that God was instructing his disciples to receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, because when the Holy Ghost came upon them, there appeared tongues of fire seated upon their heads. And so the purpose of this empowering, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to endue us with power. In other words, that is to clothe us in his power. To endue means to provide us with the Lord's qualities. He did what he did, not as the Son of God, but as the perfect servant of the Lord, the suffering Messiah. The Holy Ghost came upon him at his baptism. Otherwise, if he was doing what he did just by the power of God, of course, he was the power of the Holy Spirit. He could hardly ask us to do the same things and greater things than these shall you do. Isn't that right? That's logical. But he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's what he said in Luke 24:49. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, why is this power poured out to his disciples? Not only then, there are some believe that was just for the early church. Well, I don't see that at all evidenced by scripture. If ever we need the power of God, we need it now. And so that purpose is to give us understanding of Jesus, the will of the Lord, and the word of God, and to enable us, to make us to be powerful witnesses for Jesus. Acts 4:23, that's what happened. Remember, they were trembling behind closed doors, locked doors, and when they were filled with the Spirit, they were mocked by some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and Peter said, no, it's only the third hour. These men are not drunken as you suppose. They were filled with the power of God. And Peter preached his first sermon where 3,000 were added to the church. In verse Acts 4:33, it states, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about him receiving the glory. The gospel is sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for his people. Mark 16, the verses 17 through 18 states, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners, I don't know how many times I've brought this out over the years, but beloved, there are some commentaries, there are some scholars who say verses 9 through 20 really don't belong in the Gospel of Mark. You know, those are not verified scriptures. And, you know, it's always the plan of the devil to rob God's people of power. Okay, so they say verses 9 through the end of that chapter, verse 20, it shouldn't belong in there. And not the most valid, accurate translations. So this is what Mark would have concluded his gospel with. And they went out quickly, verse 8, and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. What a marvelous way to end the gospel, his gospel. Do you think that was really the case? As I've shared before, brother and sisters, there are about 4,200 Greek manuscripts. 680 of those contain the Gospel of Mark, and only two of them don't have verses 9 through 20, those disputed verses. So how dishonest, how hypocritical is that? They have an opinion, an agenda they want to get across, just like the mainline news. All right, I won't go there. And the three Latin versions all have them. This was never questioned. brought into question or validity until the fourth century. So, beloved, Jesus has called us to such acts. And you know what? What was it last year? About a year ago, I guess. Someone had sent me a devotional on the teachings and life of Smith Wigglesworth. And just to say briefly, he was a man anointed with great power and traveled the world and did great exploits, people raised from the dead. I mean, he had the power of God in him. And it's amazing, as I have been in that devotion, this devotional all year, the times he spoke of the empowering, the importance of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was quite transparent and honest. He served the Lord, loved the Lord. He thought he was baptized in the Holy Spirit when he was saved, but it wasn't until he got around some tongue-talking believers that he realized he didn't, and he fought with them. He argued with them in the services. That must have been quite a handful, and he was very upset, but finally he got so hungry for God, and God baptized him with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and he realized it was one of the highest point of his spiritual walk when he received the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, God's no respecter of persons. He does that today. He works with the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And you know why some Christians stumble at that? Even the gospel, those who are unsaved, beloved, the gospel, Christianity, is intellectually offensive. You heard what I said, and God has designed it that way, that he would bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, beloved, my time has flown, and we barely have gotten into this message. I hope you can be with me tomorrow at the same time. If you're not able to, I invite you to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and they are there for your convenience. I want you to know, beloved, I pray for you, and I ask for your prayers. I thank you for your faithfulness in prayer, as well as what you do to enable us to remain on this station. God bless you. I love you, and I pray for you every day, my partners, as well as those of you who have never written what I call my radio family. I love you, and if God's moving on you, note down that contact information. God has a reason and purpose in it. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.